Well, good afternoon. It's lovely to be back with you here in Bethany. As Lindsay says, I am looking for a job and certainly looking for God's guidance. But for the last few months, I've been working across at Dimity Street Church, a church I know that you know well. I've been working with Bobby, doing some kids' work, some youth work as well as Bible teaching and the things. But it's lovely to be with you here. And I always get excited when I come to a church or to a place of worship where there are things happening, where there is a determination to get into the community. And I'm excited to see you're going to have this street party. And I think that's going to be a good day, a good few hours. And hopefully God will bless that in the weather. And he'll also bless it with contacts being made. And we pray that he'll bless it by lives being touched, just by a simple thing that can be done. If you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, then please turn with me to the book of Acts. It's a well-known story. The story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. But I don't know if you're like me, and sometimes you look at our world and you get confused. You look at things that are happening and you have no idea why they're happening. You have no idea what's in control of them, what is promoting them, what is forcing them forward. And you are just a bit puzzled or a bit confused. I used to work as a solicitor or a paralegal. And my job was in conveyancing, and I used to deal with people buying and selling houses all of the time. And they would come in to me, and they would have their mortgage offer, and they would say, look, we've read this, and we don't understand it. We're confused by the language. And does it mean this? Does it mean that? And so it was part of my job to explain the consequences of taking a mortgage. There are other things that confuse people. Perhaps you've had to read an insurance policy. And the language that they use, the big words, the industry-type words that they use that mean nothing to us normal people, they just confuse us. Or perhaps you follow a sport like cricket. And of course, there's a cricket match being played down in London just now between England and the West Indies. And I quite like cricket, and I know as a Scotsman that that's quite unusual. But it's a game that's always fascinated me, a game that's interested me. But people say, you know, we get confused by the rules of cricket. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what happens when the ball goes here. We don't know what happens when the person gets hit on the pads there. We're confused. And, you know, our world can be a perplexing place at times in many different ways. And perhaps you're in church today. Perhaps you've come into the presence of God and you are just confused about what he's saying to you. You've perhaps been in different types of churches, different places of worship, and you've heard words and phrases that you just don't understand. Things like being washed in the blood of the Lamb, or things like redemption, atonement, justification, and these words, they just confuse you. And you know something? There is no shame in that. There is nothing to be worried about. But I hope and pray that these things would not put somebody off from wanting to learn more about God. And as we come to this passage, we come to a man who is confused. A man who is desperate to get to the bottom of what he is reading. A man that is desperate to get to know more about God. But where he is and what he's doing, he is confused. So let's read together from verse 26 of chapter 8. In Acts. And it says these words. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. And we ask that God will just simply bless the public reading of his word here this afternoon. The Ethiopian eunuch, we don't know his name. We don't know an awful lot about him other than he was important. But we find here that despite his importance, and with his importance, we can perhaps assume that he was an intelligent man. You don't get top jobs in government without having a certain degree of intelligence or an aptitude for understanding complicated matters. But this man was confused. And he was confused by reading the prophet Isaiah. And things made absolutely no sense to him whatsoever. The message he was reading confused him. He was curious about the things of God. And no matter how he applied his mind to it, he just could not understand or grasp what was being said. He couldn't understand about whom the passage was referring to or what the implications of the passage were. And he was puzzling over it. But there was a deep desire within this man's soul and spirit to just find out what God was trying to say through these words. And he was determined that he was going to get to the bottom of this message. He was determined that he was going to find out what it was that was meant by these words. He wasn't going to give up, in other words. And so Philip arrives and he grabs the opportunity and he says, "Look, I need some help. Why don't you come up into my chariot and have some comfort and some escape from the dust of the road and just sit with me and explain as I travel along?" And so there was no way this man was going to let his confusion take him away from the possibility of God speaking to him. Now, as I come to Bethany here today, there's a sense in which I'm not sure where you are at before God. There are a lot of faces I don't recognize, which is nice because it's always good to meet new people. And it's good to renew acquaintances as well. But there's a sense in which I just wasn't sure what message to bring here to Bethany today. And so I don't know where you are before God, and I hope this message will certainly help you wherever you're at, whether you're a Christian or whether you're seeking Christ. But I want to ask you, because we all have a degree of confusion when God speaks to us. There is always something that God says that we do not get first time, that we need to work at, we need to struggle with. And I want to ask you, how do you react when God confuses you? Do you fight to understand what he's saying, or do you give up? You see, salvation, as this eunuch was finding out about, salvation is so many different angles. And people, as I've said, use different words to describe different parts about salvation. And perhaps as we think about God and think about his power and the fact that he created this world, this universe, and even the fact that he loves us, as we consider all that, we find him just too big to get hold of. And indeed, God is too big to get hold of. But just like this eunuch was determined to not let his confusion be the end of the matter, we must persevere with what God is saying to us. We can't give up. We can't just push it to one side. This is far too serious to just move to the one side, forget about it, and carry on with our lives. We really need to get to grips with what God is telling us. And so we have to be sensible about it. We have to be pragmatic about it. And we need to perhaps in our own minds understand, right, what is it about God's message that confuses me? For me, there are times in my life where I just cannot understand God's love for me. When I do things that are just not quite up to the mark. When I do things that even as I am doing them, I know are not pleasing to God and yet still do them. And I remember, God loves me. I cannot comprehend that. It confuses me because I'm thinking on a human level rather than the divine. But whatever it is that confuses you, try and isolate that. Try and work out what it is that is being said that doesn't quite make itself clear to you. And be determined to find out what the answers are. And you need to be sensible and perhaps say, where can I go to have my confusion, to have my lack of understanding changed? Do we just listen to the preacher on a Sunday? Now, I am a preacher, and I would say that that is perhaps a good source, but it's not always the best source. Perhaps you've got friends who have been Christians for a good number of years, and you can just go to them and ask them and sit down over a cup of coffee and discuss things and have your friends explain the things of God and make things that little bit clearer for you. Or perhaps you're like a lot of people I know that enjoy reading. There's a wealth of great books out there to be found to read and try and learn more about God. They explain what God is saying. But whatever way you do, it is good to have a plan about how you're going to do it. And this eunuch knew that he needed somebody to help him with his confusion. And so Philip comes into the chariot. And they spend a while talking, perhaps debating, perhaps arguing. And the eunuch has every opportunity to have all of his questions put to Philip. And we know that the Spirit of God was with Philip. So I'm convinced that the Spirit just gave the right answers at the right time. And as a result, we see that the eunuch is convinced about the things of God, about the need for salvation, about the fact that he is a sinner before God, and he needs the salvation that only Jesus Christ can bring. And so his perseverance, his endurance has paid off, and all that earlier frustration that he had about this message from Isaiah is taken away and replaced with one of understanding. He gets it. His eyes are opened, and even more so, his heart is opened, and he's convinced that Jesus Christ is Lord. And what does he do? Well, we can see from this passage that he allows Jesus Christ to come into his life. It was the message of the gospel that Philip gave him. It was not something complicated about explaining the layout of the tabernacle, as important as that is. It was not about explaining how Jeremiah could possibly have foreseen that Israel would come have its own country again in the future. Important as though Jeremiah's prophecy was. No, it's a simple message of this. Your relationship with God is broken. You cannot come into God's presence. Why? Because you're a sinner. Because the wrong things in your life have got in the way of that relationship. They have disrupted the beauty of communion with God. And so you're separated from him. And you know there is nothing that can be done about that except this: to seek forgiveness for your sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that sounds a very simple thing to do, but it is sometimes a very difficult thing to put into practice. And that step of faith can be such a difficult one for people. And if you're in that position today, then I am not trivializing that step of faith. I know it's difficult. I've been there. I've experienced it. I know what it's like. But it is an essential step for you to take, is to put your faith in Jesus Christ. And the eunuch was convinced by the way that Philip spoke to him. And the things that Philip said just rung true in the heart of that eunuch. And he let Jesus Christ into his life. And so I ask us the question today, are we convinced about Jesus Christ? Are we convinced, first of all, that he was a real person? History and studies of history would now perhaps say that there is no doubt that Jesus Christ was a real person. And so the question is perhaps more importantly to ask is this: is Jesus Christ who he said he is? Is he the Son of God? My resounding answer to that is yes. My experience in my life is yes, he is. But I understand and appreciate that perhaps you have yet to experience that. And so what we must do is ask ourselves this: have we truly listened to the message? Whether it's come from a preacher, whether it's come from a friend, whether it's come from a book, or whether it's just something that we have been mulling over in our minds. Is Jesus Christ truly the Son of God? If you believe yes, then surely the next logical thing to do is to put our trust in him. Do we see that truth about Jesus Christ? Do we understand that what he did at Calvary, where he died for us, is the greatest act of love that this world has ever seen or ever will see? There have been a lot of sacrifices made in the history of mankind, and all of them carry a certain value. And as worthwhile and as wonderful as those sacrifices have been, they do pale into insignificance with the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for you and for me. The Son of God left heaven. He left heaven. Think about the place that heaven is, the most wonderful place that we can't even describe. He left that. And he came into this world as a simple man, not into royalty even, but into a stable, into the family of a carpenter. And he lived a life that was perfect, that was sinless. And then he was betrayed, he was tortured, and he was executed. Now that is a terrible story to apply to even one single person. But to apply that to the creator of the universe, the Lord of the universe, the name that is above every other name, is such a travesty of justice. But yet, Jesus Christ knew that was what awaited him. And he went through that. And he went through that for you, so that your sins could be forgiven just by simply putting your faith in him. And the eunuch was convinced of that. Are you convinced? He was confused. He was convinced. But then, as we see at the end of our passage, the eunuch was a man who was changed. There was no question, if there had been a neutral observer there looking at the eunuch, there was no question this man had changed from before his encounter with Philip till after it. He was a different person. Something had happened in his life that had changed him. And how do we know that? Well, the first thing that we see is that he was baptized. He went through the waters of baptism. It was something that he saw that needed to be done. And it's a simple sign of obedience. I don't know if you understand baptism or if you've come across it before. I'm sure many of you have. But it's a simple act of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not something where the church pressurizes you. The church requires you to do it. That's not the reason for it. The reason for baptism is the Lord Jesus Christ himself said that we need to be baptized. And it was an extremely profound thing for this eunuch to do, to come from his different culture, his different background, in a land far away from Jerusalem, to simply say, I want to go through baptism. I want to show the world. I want to show people around that I'm different, that I have aligned myself with Jesus Christ. I'm doing what he asks me to do. So he was baptized. But also at the very end of our passage, we see that he was rejoicing. It wasn't a simple process that he'd gone through, but he was ticking boxes off, saying, right, I have done that. I have read my Bible. I have given my money to the church. I'm at every single church service, therefore. Oh, and I'm baptized too. That's it. No. His very attitudes, his very outlook in life, his personality, he was rejoicing. He was happy. This wasn't just a mild happiness where he was contented with things. It was overflowing. It was something that had to be noticed by everybody around him. And I don't know the last time that you've come into contact with somebody who has met the Lord Jesus Christ for the very first time. When that is a genuine experience, you notice it in people. And so we see it in the eunuch as well. He could not contain himself. And nothing that could happen, the long journey ahead, and it would have not been a comfortable journey necessarily, but the long journey ahead could not take away his rejoicing. It could not take away that joy. And he was happy. And he was happy for the long term. And so just as this eunuch was changed, I want to ask you this. Do you want Jesus to change you? There are times in my life, and I look back on them with shame and regret, of things that I've done that I've not been happy with, things that I would not be happy to share with people. But yet Jesus Christ has changed me. And let me tell you this, if Jesus Christ can change me, then he can certainly change you. Do you want him to change you? Nothing is too big for him to change. Also, nothing is too trivial for his attention to change either. That is the mark of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you, no matter how good you are, no matter how bad you are, no matter how much you might think you do not need him. He loves you and he wants to change you. And that change can only bring us joy like the Ethiopian eunuch. We will have a hope and a future in eternity to look forward to. And that is a wonderful thing to have as we go through our lives, that as death approaches and it comes to us all, we know that we're going to be with Jesus Christ. And we have that to look forward to. But even on top of that, we have the joy. We have the rejoicing and the enjoyment of the Lord Jesus Christ right now. It's not something that we need to wait for or put off. We can have it right now, today, on the 20th of May in 2012. And that change of joy can come into your life, just as it did to the Ethiopian eunuch, just as it has done to so many of us here today. But also I want to say this, because it would be remiss of anybody who speaks from this passage to not put out the challenge of baptism. If you're a Christian today and you've not been baptized, surely this is a logical step for you to take. Jesus Christ has said that once you believe in him, you should be baptized so that the whole world can see that you are ready just to put yourself right beside Jesus Christ. Now, baptism does not in itself change you. Baptism does not save you. But baptism just simply says, Lord Jesus, I am with you. Lord Jesus, my life is yours. And so if you're in that position considering baptism, then please make it a serious consideration. Make it something that you look into very closely, because it is a great celebration in a church when somebody is baptized. And so as we just conclude our time together, we see that this man, this ordinary man, despite his importance, despite his high-powered job, he still needed Jesus Christ. He was not somebody that we sometimes see in the Bible who was such a bad sinner, had done terrible things. He was respectable. He was normal, whatever that might be. Sometimes dangerous to use that word of people. But he's just like me. He's just like you, going through life without necessarily encountering anything terrible or anything wonderful. He was just going through life and he encountered Jesus Christ. And even although the message of salvation confused him to start off with, he persisted and he made sure he got to grips with it. I want to ask you, do not leave this place today without having understood the message of salvation. Our sins have separated from God, but we can have forgiveness for our sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. Please speak to me or speak to somebody that you know a bit better, and get them to sit down with you, because I know they would love to do that. But just as the man was confused, he got to that position where he was convinced and he understood the need for Jesus Christ. And as he asked Jesus Christ into his life, he was changed. It wasn't an empty gesture asking Jesus into his life. It had an immediate effect. And I can tell you today that if you ask Jesus Christ into your life right now, the one thing that I can guarantee about the rest of your life is this, that your sins will have been forgiven. And no matter what comes or goes in our life, we can be certain that our sins are not held against us any longer, because Jesus Christ has taken the punishment for them. And so if you want that change in your life, if you want that forgiveness, if you want that certainty of going to heaven, then you need to be convinced that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and died for your sins. It's not always easy, but let me tell you this, it is worthwhile. And this message from 2,000 years ago of a man who met another man on a dusty road on a long journey has such resounding implications for us today, because it reminds us that Jesus Christ is alive and well, and he's ready to do his work in every life that comes to him today. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks for our time together this afternoon, for the singing of your songs, and for everything that has gone on here. We just humbly thank you that it has been done in your name. And Father, as we have listened to your word, We ask that you will allow it to touch our hearts and our lives right where we are today. Father, if we have already known the Lord Jesus Christ, then perhaps just touch us in a way that will bring us closer to him and inspire us to do more and more for him. But Father, it is our serious prayer and something we pray with passion and concern that if there is any life here today who has not met with the Lord Jesus, that they will just be directed down that path towards him. And that no heart that has not accepted him as Saviour will leave here today in that same way, but will have the courage and the opportunity to trust in him and take him as Lord and Saviour. So Father, as we part, we ask for your blessing on each and every life that is bowed before you today. And we ask for your protection and for your travelling mercies as we go home. And look over us until we meet again in your will. Father, we love you so much. And we realise that the depths of your love have taken you to a place where you have done everything for us. Father, renew our appreciation of that as we go through today and through this week. And we ask all of this in the wonderful and peerless, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.